are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
We don't usually do applause in services, but this is informal. We're allowed to today, and it was just wonderful. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Beautiful hymn. Charlie, can you come and light our chalice for us, please? Give us courage to change what must be altered. Serenity to accept what cannot be helped. And the insight to know one from the other. This is attributed to Reinhold Niebuhr. He certainly thought he wrote it, but a few other people think somebody else might have done it. And it's often rearranged on fridge magnets and God knows what. But I like the original order, the courage first, then the serenity, not serenity first. I think it's wonderful. Welcome, everyone, to our service of worship, and a very warm welcome to those worshipping with us for the first time today or people we haven't seen for a while. A special welcome to our organist who's visiting us for the first time. Previous scheduled visits have fallen through because of COVID and other complications, so it's especially nice to welcome Seong Jung here today to remind you what this historic instrument sounds like. My name's Jenny Dyster. I'm the current president of the Committee of Management and a regular worship leader. The land we meet on today is the traditional land of the Kaurna people, and we respect and bless their spiritual relationship with country, their elders past and present. Our church is a spiritual community, one that supports you in seeking and following your own spiritual path. Unitarians have been meeting in South Australia since 1854. The early Unitarians were dissenters from the Anglican or Catholic tradition, but they described themselves as Christian. This is no longer the case, as our congregations include atheists and people of diverse cultural and religious backgrounds. Christian, Islamic, Jewish, Baha'i, we don't have to think alike to worship together. Our principles are dear to us. They're consistent with atheist, humanist, or religious perspectives. You don't have to give up beliefs and practice that pertain to other faiths if you become a Unitarian. If you are not Unitarian, there are no parts of the service that you're not welcome to participate in. You will not be pressed to convert. We respect your right to observe and come to your own decision whether to come again. We have no special clothes. You're free to determine your own gender and preference. We don't prescribe your theology or direct you on a spiritual journey. Your path is yours to find and follow, and the role of the church is to support you on that path, any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world. Today's seating arrangement is to facilitate conversation later in the service. The topic is, how do we serve you? How can we raise to worth the things that matter most to you? Our setup is cafe style, but smashed avocado is not on offer. It's just tea and bickies and coffee. COVID advice is that we don't share utensils. That's why you're being served. On the tables, there's a notepad each and a few writing implements for those who don't carry their own pens and pencils. If you use them, don't return them to the pot. Leave them on the table afterwards and they'll be sanitised. The pads are yours to keep for whatever purpose you like. Today's story is called Liar Bird. Liar birds learn to lie from the day they hatch. They're the best in the bush at fibbing, faking, fabricating, and fake news creating. You can see why this appealed to adults, can't you, two kids? That's just a little information piece at the beginning of the book. The book is for everyone who has ever told a little lie, a porky pie, or even a big fat whopper. I'll tell you a little secret. Lying is great. Yeah, you heard me. People will tell you it's wrong. Don't listen to them. I should know. I'm a liar bird. We learn to lie from the day we hatched. It starts with impersonations. We can make ourselves sound like almost anything. Chainsaws, other birds, cameras, and even koalas. Pretty soon we'll be telling all sorts of lies. Big ones, little ones, and big fat whoppers. By the time we're grown up, we liar birds are the best at fibbing in the bush. Do you like the fake news there? Tiger herd in bush. Space trips to Mars, $10. And tall stories. Last week, I fought off 15 foxes with me bare feathers. Crikey! And of course, that's laid on with a trowel. See? Fibbing's fun. And it's never... He's right behind me, isn't he? Fox! Should we help him? Nah, he can fight off 15 foxes. It's just part of his routine. The book doesn't give away exactly how he got out of this dilemma. But the lesson is learnt. From now on, I'll be telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Of course, this hits the news. Local liar comes clean. I'm going to be as honest as I can be. I'm going to tell the truth. No one ever gets hurt when you tell the truth. Do you like my hat? No, you look ridiculous. I don't like it. I'm never going to tell another fib. Where is everyone? Well, I'm glad you asked. They're hiding in here, ready to surprise you for your birthday. Take it from me, honesty's the best policy. I listen most of the time. And the surprise party gets underway. Well, we all learn how to tell a few white lies when it's absolutely necessary, don't we? People sometimes don't need to know absolutely everything. But you do have to think about it, and quite seriously. It's time now for the children to go to Sunday Club. We will have a little period of silence, after which the organ music will be played. Relax. Either cast your eyes down or close them. Monitoring the breath is one of the best ways of calming scattered thoughts. Don't try to suppress thoughts. Let them drift in and out, but try not to be captivated by them. Observe them. If you notice your breath, your diaphragm moving, you're relaxed. Be still, my soul. It's classic, isn't it? It's now time for the reading. This comes to you courtesy of Sandy Schulthaus, who posted it, and I decided that sounds pretty good to me. And it's an answer. You may know Albert Einstein would always answer when he was asked, "Do you believe in God?" "I believe in the God of Spinoza." Baruch Spinoza was a Dutch philosopher of Portuguese Jewish origin, one of the great rationalists of the time, along with René Descartes. He was born in Amsterdam in the 17th century. And what he said was this. To him, he imagines what God would say. And this is what he imagines what God would say. Stop praying and giving yourself blows on your chests. What I want you to do is to go out into the world and enjoy life. I want you to enjoy. You sing, you have fun, enjoy everything I've done for you. Stop going to those gloomy, dark, and cold temples that you built yourself and that you call my home. My house is in the mountains, in the forests, in the lakes, the beaches. That's where I live and express all my love for you. Stop blaming me for your miserable life. I never told you you were a sinner. Stop being so scared. I don't judge nor criticize. Nor ever am angry with you. Nothing bothers me, nor do I devise punishments. I am pure love. Stop asking me for forgiveness. If I made you, I filled you with passions, limitations, pleasures, feelings, needs, inconsistencies, free will. How can I blame you if you do or say something that I put in you? How can I punish you for being as you are if I'm the one who made you? Do you think I could create a place to burn all my children who misbehave for the rest of eternity? What kind of God can do that? Forget about commandments and laws and wiles to manipulate you and control you and create guilt in you. Respect your peers and don't do to others what you don't want for you. The only thing I ask is that you pay attention in your life, that your alert status is your guide. This life is the thing there is here and now, and it's the only thing you need. You can imagine that went down a bomb at that time. We now come to the part of the service where I'm going to introduce what we're going to talk about. The most boring and unproductive question to ask about religion is whether it's true, as in God-given, heaven-sent, and managed by wise men, prophets, and sexless celestial beings, like the one behind John Hall there. The most unproductive and un-Unitarian activity for atheists is to lay bare the idiocy of believers in remorseless detail, desisting only when satisfied that the enemy, so to speak, has been exposed as either a maniac or a total simpleton. Most of us are here with no real interest in finding a guru, no interest in hearing about unusual people who can levitate while they pray. We're more likely to attribute a back-from-the-dead story as an example of successful CPR than the result of divine intervention. Nevertheless, something impels us to come to Unitarian House on Sundays. There are benefits to afford time to calming the mind, soothe the spirit, accepting food for thought, enjoying the company of others. Today's service is designed to address the questions, what's in it for me? What can I give? What's in it for others? Can we do it better? The little notepads are provided so you can jot down thoughts as they occur to you. And you can keep those thoughts private, or you can share them by putting them in the white bowl on the altar for the comm to read later. That's entirely up to you.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.
Well, I might be not at the river, but my happy heart is quivering. And I don't think I'm the only one. Thank you so much, and God bless. Thank you so much for sparing some time from your Sunday for us. I have the first questions up on the screen here. I've deliberately made sure that these questions are compatible with a little bit of chat and movement. It's not the heavy stuff yet. It's hymns accompanied by an organ are a part of a traditional Christian church service. Does it work for you in a Unitarian context? Do you like to sing? Do you miss singing? Do you prefer to listen to music? We had a lovely listen today. What kinds of music work best for you in a service of worship? Now, the idea is that you just chat on at the table and you only bother to write something down if you think, oh, maybe that the comm might like to consider that. We'll just have a couple of minutes on this one. I think it might be time to move on. You can just put those sheets maybe to the bottom of the stack. We have inherited traditionally a Sunday service-centred church life. It worked very well in the 50s when knocked off from work at 11 or 12 o'clock on Saturday and did sport Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday was the day a lot of people went to church. Of course, that's no longer the case. And people have a lot of other calls on their time on Sunday. So what I'd like you to share with each other now is, if you were not here now, where would you be? So this is Sunday morning. And what do people do on Sundays? And do you think we could or should worship on any other day of the week? Those are the questions. And by worship, I don't necessarily mean a full church service. It could be modified, meditation-based or a singing-based service. Use your imaginations. Okay, and we'll give you 4 or 5 minutes to share ideas on this one. 1 minute more. Now we're going to get into the vexed topic of God. Whenever we have a Christian minister who comes here, often their content is jolly good. We generally get a complaint about Bible reading or the mention of the word God. Now it occurs to me that we're not affording Christianity the same respect that we are affording Buddhism or Islam or anything else. But I'm not going to wipe off misgivings, because a lot of us come here with some baggage from traditional religion. So what I'd like you to do now is actually grapple with how we manage. I mean, traditionally we respect the freedom of pulpit and pew, which means you're not bound to accept what the worship leader or minister says, and the worship leader is not bound to say and conform with what might please you. But nonetheless, do you find references to God or the Christian Bible unsettling, acceptable in context, unnecessary, inevitable in a religious forum? How do you think we should deal, you know, especially when we're having visiting ministers and or speakers? What do we tell them about how we manage God and the Bible, if we do it all? No. This is for discussion around the table, not discussion with me, all right? Okay. I hope I haven't put the cat among the pigeons. Go for it. Now you have 1 minute left of God bothering. You don't need to write an essay. I mean, you can just put down notes, very brief. because if you put down an intriguing, short, slightly ambiguous note, you're likely to be asked what you meant later and you will have had time to think it through. You don't have to put your name on it, but you can, particularly if you wouldn't mind somebody ringing you up and having a chat. So that's entirely up to you, whether you do it anonymously or whether you put your name on ideas. Now, another terrific feature of church is living together in harmony. A lot of people go to traditional churches, even though they don't believe a word, because they've gone there for years, they have family connections, and they have friends that go. And they just keep their mouths shut about not believing in the Trinity or whatever reservations that they have. What aspects of community do you value in coming to church? It is, after all, something where your social status doesn't really count, and there aren't many other clubs and things that work quite like that. What activities should or could Unitarian House provide? Do you value church as social glue? What sort of activities do you think bring people together? So I'm asking you now to focus on the social and community side of church. What do you think possible benefits are? And we'll have about 3 minutes on that one. In that last discussion, I assume that most of you didn't think that social was separate to spiritual. There's a certain amount of overlap, but it was easier to discuss the two main functions of church in this way. One is that church fulfills community needs, and the other is that all of us inevitably have to cope with pain, and sometimes it's at horrific levels, due to our vulnerability to professional failure, troubled relationships, death, death of others, our own death and loss. How have you been supported by fellow Unitarians in the past? Or have you been supported by fellow Unitarians in the past? Do you expect or hope for spiritual support here in times of need? What aspects of spiritual practice would you like to develop? Can the church assist to assuage the persistent and unattended ills of secular life? In other words, I'm asking you to consider how church measures up to your deeper needs and what you think we could do to promote that. So this is a little deeper one. It's now time for the benediction, and I don't think you should stand. The reason being, you're in a bench, there are tables, and it's a little bit insecure. So please remain seated for the benediction. This is one we've had before. It's from Gary Kowalski. Go in peace, speak the truth. Go in peace, speak the truth. Give thanks each day. Respect the earth and her creatures. Care for your body. It's a wondrous gift. Live simply. Be of service. Be guided by your faith and not by your fear. Go lightly on your path. Walk in a sacred manner.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitariansa@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.